Very nice again to be with you, and I'm grateful to the session and to the outreach committee for the invitation to be with you this weekend. Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I don't have a pew Bible, so I can't give you the page number. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'll just read from verse 14 through verse 16, just these few verses. Hear the word of God. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for this occasion on this particular Lord's Day, in which you are pleased to gather us together. You've made this appointment for us, Father. And as this is the case, we pray now that you'll be pleased to be with us, dwell in our midst, grant us your grace, open our hearts, open our eyes, and confirm to our hearts your great covenant promises, and especially this truth, I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Be with us to this end, we pray, that we may have confirmed in our hearts and souls that we belong to you and that you are indeed our God. We pray this in the good and gracious name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Evangelism is to be God-centered and church-centered. I said that in Sabbath school class, didn't I? Well, I repeat it. As an example of this, a young man by the name of Saleh, who is a Sunni Muslim, was invited by our pastor at Second Indianapolis to come to church. And he accepted the invitation and has regularly been attending the worship services. It seems like God has had him under some conviction. And he's been studying the Bible and wrestling with the Quran. And he finally said to our pastor, I've decided I'm going to remain a Muslim. But is it all right if I continue to come to church? And, of course, our pastor said, you bet. You come. I'll pick you up. I'll bring you. And he's been asking other probing questions. And one of the questions he apparently asked was, what happens after you're baptized? He's thinking. He's thinking about the church. He's thinking about the gospel that he hears every week. And as he worships with God's people, he's experiencing the love of God poured out among God's people. And he wants to be among God's people because he's experiencing the love of God among the people of God. And so we thank the Lord that this is the case. And so I say again to you that evangelism is to be church-centered and God-centered. And this is part of the emphasis that I'm bringing you this morning, along with the idea that, as I say in the main point for the sermon, that you and I are to invite people to seek the Lord in public worship. And since the church, or since evangelism is to be God-centered and church-centered, it turns out that the church is one of the best places to seek the Lord. The assembly of God's people is one of the best places in which to invite people to seek the Lord and for you and I to seek the Lord. And so, again, the idea is to invite people to seek the Lord in public worship, the best place to do so. And I'm beginning this morning with this idea in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. Let me read it again. For we are the temple of the living God. I'll just stop there, the beginning of verse 16. And as I say in the outline, the church is a special Holy Spirit-filled assembly. This is what the Apostle Paul means when he says to the church at Corinth. You see, the church at Corinth was a group of people just like us, gathered together to hear the Word of God. And on this particular occasion, the people of the church at Corinth were gathered together to hear this letter being read to them, which they received from the Apostle Paul. You see, they didn't have Twitter. They didn't have email feeds. They didn't have these kinds of communication. They weren't able to watch the Apostle Paul give his message to them on YouTube. They had to come together to sit together and listen to the Apostle Paul speak to them. And as the Apostle Paul speaks to them, he says to them, including himself, we are the temple of the living God. And of course, he's using Old Testament language, because the temple in the Old Testament was that structure that was built by Solomon in Jerusalem, and that structure in which the Shekinah glory dwelt. And this word Shekinah is quite striking. It's not a word that's found in the Bible. You can look it up in Bible dictionaries for sure. And it means the dwelling glory of God. And the root for the word Shekinah is the Hebrew word shakan. So I'm teaching you a little Hebrew this morning. It's the Hebrew word shakan, which means dwelling. And you could pronounce, changing the vowels slightly, the dwelling glory of God, Shekinah. You change the vowel, Shekinah. It's the same word. It means the dwelling glory of God. And the church, Paul says, is the New Testament temple of the living God. You and I gathered together as God's people, are the New Testament temple of the living God. That is, we are a special dwelling place of God in the Spirit. This is what Paul says to the Ephesians in Ephesians 2:20. He says the whole church is being built up into a holy temple. And then he says to the Ephesians, you too are a special dwelling place of God in the Spirit. That's what we are. You might say, well, of course, God is everywhere, and that's true. And I would say to you, God is in heaven, and God is in hell. If you go to heaven, you experience the beautiful love and mercy and grace of God in the ultimate. If you go to hell, you experience the wrath of God. God is present in hell, all right. He's present in wrath. And what that tells us, that God is present in different places, manifesting himself differently at different times. And he's specially present with his people as his temple. And I say to you, friends, God is especially present here this morning as God's temple. He is present with us. And as the text tells us, as we are together as God's assembly, God is present to assure those of us who are here that he is our God and we are his people. Look at verse 16 in 2 Corinthians 6 again. For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. Of course, this was the case in the early tabernacle where the Shekinah glory, the pillar of fire by day, or the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day, led the people of Israel. He dwelt in their midst and he walked with them and led them. This is what Paul is talking about. I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You see, this is not simply a vague promise, people. This is not something in which God is saying, I shall, in the future, be with you. No. He's very definite here. I will be their God. This is a declaration of the truth of God. They shall be my people. This is like the judge saying, you will appear before me at a certain time. This is God's covenant declaration to his people. And of course, in this case, he's the kind and benevolent and merciful and gracious God who declares in the midst of his assembly, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And one of the preeminent things that should occur in the public worship of God is that you and I should be comforted by the embrace of the Savior. And in this place, And in such a time as this, God comes to us graciously. To penetrate our hearts, your heart and my heart, and to show you Jesus Christ, the Savior, lifted up. And like the thief on the cross, crying out to him, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. And Jesus saying, today, you will be with me in paradise. See, the whole structure, the whole idea of the structure here is to bring this assurance of the grace of the great God of heaven to the likes of you and me. Now, I couple with this the idea that I presented early on on Friday evening, that God's purpose for all men and women, young people and children, is that we should seek Him, that you should seek Him, and that I should seek Him. And Pastor read the passage in Acts 17. Let's turn back there to Acts 17. And just look at it for a moment. Acts 17, verses 26 and following. Acts 17, verses 26 and following. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God, and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. And even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. God is not far off. And as we've already observed from Corinthians, God is graciously present here among us by the power of his Holy Spirit. And it's an amazing thing for us to contemplate, for you to contemplate, and for me to contemplate. That at this very moment, God is graciously dealing with you and me. And you would often say, well, the pastor is trying to teach us something. And believe me, friends, when I as a pastor stand before a congregation in a circumstance like this, there are many times when the Lord is busy teaching me certain things. We're in this together. God is with us in this circumstance, and His purpose for us, as the Apostle Paul says, is that we should seek Him. That's His purpose for us. And it's a wonderful thing for us to contemplate. Just Friday evening, I met a young man who, if I recall the story correctly, attended law school here at IU. And one morning, he came to worship. Why did he come? God was up to something. And as we look at this text in Acts 17, actually unknowingly, this young man appears to have come into the public worship here in Bloomington Reformed Presbyterian Church on that morning, seeking the Lord. He wouldn't have put it this way, but it was in response to his purpose as a young man, and sensing this, not being able to articulate it outwardly, but coming and seeking the Lord. And I don't know all the story. Your pastor can relate the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. But in the grace and the providence of God coming into the assembling of God's people worshiping together, he sought and he found and he was saved and he was converted. Now your pastor can give some of the rest of the details. And it might not have been on that same occasion. It might have been later. But it was in this process of seeking the Lord. And he found. In this place, praise be unto God. Well, how then do you seek the Lord? Back to 2 Chronicles. Back to 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. The Old Testament. Or as some would say, the Older Testament. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. And I'm not going to read the whole passage that Pastor read earlier, but I want to read the beginning of the chapter into verse 6 from verse 1. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, and with them some of the Meunites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is, En Gedi." And Jehoshaphat was afraid. We've already talked about in our series that part of what God does often is use his providential circumstances to put people in a situation where they have no alternative except to seek the Lord. Fear comes upon them. And this is what happened to Jehoshaphat. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid. And what did he do? He set his face to seek the Lord. He had no other choice. He set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. He not only individually sought the Lord, but he called all of the people of the kingdom to seek the Lord with him. Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout Judah, and Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. And all the people came together. They assembled to seek the Lord. From all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord. Where did they gather? In the temple, in the house of the Lord. There you have it. The assembly of God's people in the house of the Lord, in the place of the special dwelling place of God. That's where they came, to seek the face of God. I remember as a young man, after I was converted in Korea, being given this suggestion that I attend a retreat that was being conducted in a nearby campground with a chapel and retreat center. And when I got to the retreat, I met several other fellows. And as I sat through the sessions, the chaplain at the retreats said, in words to this effect, I don't really believe the Bible is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. I was a brand new Christian. This is exactly what I needed to hear. And this shook me up. And there was only one thing that I knew to do. There was a little chapel on that campground. And I went to that little chapel and I fell down on my knees at the front of that little chapel and I begged God to affirm to me whether or not His Word was actually the inspired, infallible Word of God. And I had a little wrestling match at that time. And in retrospect, what was going on? I was seeking the Lord in this situation because I was being rocked off of my anchor. And this is, in a sense, what was happening to Jehoshaphat. And in this case, he called all the people together, and they together came to the house of the Lord, the special dwelling place of God, to seek His face. And then what do we read? Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are You not God of heaven? And he began to pray and to cry out to God and to seek the Lord in prayer. Prayer is one of the primary means of grace. You seek the Lord using the means of grace. So that's part of the lesson. And when we come together as God's people, we are, you and I, are involved in utilizing God's appointed means. Praying. Reading this book. Singing His songs. Listening to the explanation of the Word of God. And we are in a place where God is dwelling graciously for the purpose of affirming His truth through His Word and utilizing prayer as a means of answering us to bring about His will in your life and in my life. That's what God is about. And sometimes I've said that the church is not like a PTA meeting, where the difference is that we sit in a different room or auditorium, and we may even sing songs, but they're different songs. And we'll hear a speaker, but it's a different speaker on a different subject. And what we're doing is we are just together singing different songs and having a different speaker speaking from a different book. No. It's much more than that. Because God is especially present to utilize His means to speak to our hearts, your heart and my heart, to affirm to us where we stand with Him. With Him. And so, you and I come together to seek the Lord in and by the means of grace. And the congregation assembled together, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, is an engine of evangelism. To me, that's part of the bottom line here. It's an engine of evangelism. And I want to emphasize this by turning to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. And verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. See, here we are in the assembly of God's people. God is present. And we are seeking Him. And what does Isaiah say? Seek the Lord while He may be found. Here is one of the wonderful places in this circumstances where the Lord Jesus Christ may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Dear friends, our God is near. In your heart, call upon Him. You have special needs, call upon Him. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that He may have compassion on him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Are you here and You've heard the story about Jesus Christ, but you've not experienced the pardoning work of the Savior forgiving you of your sins. Jesus Christ is near. Jesus Christ, the one who died to bear your sins and the sins of individuals like you on that cross, and He cried out in agony, my God, why have you forsaken me? And He did that. He bore your sins and cried out in that fashion so that you would never have to make a similar cry yourself and never have to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because He's drawn you to Himself and made you His own. Forsake your wicked ways and trust in Jesus Christ, the only Savior. For He has compassion, and our God will abundantly pardon. And He's graciously present in circumstances like this to do His work. This assembly, Bloomington Reformed Presbyterian Church, here, seated in God's presence, you are an engine of evangelism. As God is working in your midst, and people come to hear the gospel. And so, I say, invite people to seek the Lord with you in public worship. What will happen? Well, we know this much. We know this much. God is graciously present here to work in your hearts and the hearts of people that come. And as you seek the Lord together, the Word of God says that when the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts, that God is present to abundantly pardon. Seek the Lord while He may be found, friends, and invite others to come and seek the Lord with you. This is the best possible place for you to do so. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. How good you are to us, better than we deserve. You've put us together in churches and in congregations like this for your good pleasure. Even now, O God, affirm to us our place in your plans and purposes, in your scheme of things. And if we're wrestling together about where we stand in our relationship with you, be pleased even now, O God, as we look to you to work in our hearts and affirm to us that you are our God and we are indeed your people. And give us that grace that we may go forward from this time of worship together with thankfulness in our hearts and saying, thank you, my Father, for being my Father. And thank you, my Lord Jesus Christ, for being my Savior. Hear us, we ask, in the good and gracious name of Jesus Christ, who is the only Lord and Savior of people like us, we pray. Amen.